Remember, we spoke at the conference about not only the heart that I believe God places within us, but also that love that I believe that He instills with each and every one of His sheep. A lot of times, David, people want to say, all you have to do is love God. In other words, you initiate it. I don't believe you can find in the scriptures where anyone and any man initiates the love within themselves, but rather it's something that is placed there by God. We tried to establish that, and what we did, we went to Philippians 1 and 6. And if you go and turn there and read it, I want to explain myself, and I hope I get my point across. Here it says, He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Now, there wasn't any options for man to keep, to reject, to either like or dislike. He said, He that hath begun a good work. And I believe it starts from the very beginning. And not only that, but He's going to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ and to the end. In order to get there, a lot of times people want to think, Ron, all I have to do is keep the law, hold on faithfully in, do the best I can, be an overcomer, and also be perfect. And I want to emphasize that fact about being perfect. And I'm going to read this for you here. Come back to in the book of Matthew, the 5th chapter. In verse 48, here the Lord was talking to His disciples. And as He spoke to them, He said some words that, as I look at it, I think is very confounding to the religious world. I don't believe, Ron, it's confounding to us, because we believe in God's not only beginning His work, but His finished work. And we hope to address that in our message. Don't take too long. But in verse 48 of Matthew 5, the Lord, when He spoke to His disciples, He said, Be ye therefore perfect, even as my Father who is in heaven perfect. And as I read that, I just wondered, Bill, would the Lord tell His disciples to do something that was not achievable, that they couldn't do within themselves? Be ye perfect. Now, as we look at ourselves, Dave, I look at myself, it's everything but perfection as far as this outward man is concerned. But what we're looking at is what God said, be ye perfect. And I'd like to know, what is it that makes us perfect? And what is it that God, whenever he says this, I realize people want to say, it's a request of God. In other words, God is going to depend upon on me or upon man to come up with a good answer or a good solution on being perfect. As we were listening to a wonderful song this morning, that was really funny. Linda will have to tell you about it. There was a man that came out on there afterwards and said, thank you, Mom, for that wonderful song. Ron, it was terrible. I can't sing, but she sang worse than I did. But anyway, he said, God's wanting us to do certain things, and we have to show God. And whenever I heard those words, I thought, Sister Betty, that who am I to show God anything? He already knows all things. He's determined all things, made all things. But this is what most people look at, and they look at be ye perfect, looking at it as a request. And I hope that all of us are brought to realize Ron, because it was several years before I come to a better understanding about commandments. A lot of times people want to think, well, God commanded, now it's up to you to do. Well, if God commands it, I believe it's going to be completed. I believe Psalm 66, verse 8, I think, where it said the Lord spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. So what I'm pointing out is that whatever the Lord commands, I believe His sheep to do, that's exactly what they're going to do. There is no options. I want to point out too is here that the Lord spoke about many things as far as this which is in our hearts. And I believe this is where the work begins. He that hath begun a good work in you. And we read that for you in the book of Ezekiel. And let me just turn over and read it for you again, because I would hope that all of us are brought to understand about God's work, that it begins, I believe, within us. Find the book of Ezekiel. And He is the one that begins that good work within us. And I believe not only starts it, but I believe that He is also going to finish it. And in Ezekiel, the 36th chapter. And listen to the words that the Lord had written down for us in order that we might know. Whenever He said, He that hath begun a good work in you, that work begins at the core of this inner man, which God says here in verse 26, a new heart also I will give unto you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and will put a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my ordinances and do them. Here the Lord said, I'm going to put within you a new heart. And Bill, I hope we're brought to understand that He is the one that starts that work with a new heart. Not only with that new heart, He's going to place within it a new spirit. And I think I may have read the verse of Scripture in the book of Philippians, the fourth chapter, in verse 7, where it says, the God of peace shall keep your hearts and minds. Now, is He going to fail? It told us this for a particular reason. And I give the observation, if we were able to keep our own hearts, why would we need a keeper? But here He said, He will keep your hearts and your minds. And the reason I bring this up again is because within that heart there are many things. I want to read for you one. I think we may have read it in our lesson, but I want to read it for you again in the book of Romans, the 5th chapter. Where it says here, Terry, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. I don't know what most people think, but God, whenever He shed His love, He said it was shed abroad in our hearts. I believe, Ron, it was an exact hit. It went to exactly the place that He determined it to be. And I think here, as the Scriptures teaches, that He's going to keep our hearts and our minds. And one of those things that is within that heart is the love of God. Let me read for you in the book of Romans. I think we may have read this too, but I want to point out that he's going to keep the heart and mind. He didn't say, Linda, I'm going to leave it up to you to keep your own heart. I'm going to give you a new one, but it's up to you to keep it. Well, let me point out, I believe he's going to take care of the total process from the beginning to the very end, till he calls us home, takes us out of this world. But in Romans, I think we read that in the 5th chapter in verse 5 about the love of God, but let me read for you over here in the 10th chapter of the book of Romans and the 10th verse. And the point that we're making here, Dave, is that the Lord's going to keep our hearts and minds because there's something important there. It's, I believe, not only important, but it's also precious. Maybe not to us, I think it is to me, but it may not be to God. Well, it is important to God because He promised not only that He was going to give you a new heart, put a new spirit within you, put that love there within you, and not only that, but He said, I'm going to keep it. I'm not going to be dependent upon Gene or any other man to keep their own heart, but rather it'll be God. In the 10th chapter of the book of Romans, let me read for you in verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And what it's telling us here is that from a heart, in other words, there's many things that comes from a heart. And he explains that in the book of Luke. And I may have read this as well, but let me read this for you again if we may. Because I want to point out that it's important, I believe, to us because it gives us a great deal of joy, a great deal of consolation, a great deal of peace in knowing that we're under the care of the heart surgeon who placed within us a new heart, a new spirit. Not only that, but in Ezekiel, he said his laws and his ordinances. And not only that, but they were going to do them. And I believe that each and every one of his sheep are led by that spirit, by the hand, and also, well, might as well say, Ron, by the hand of God, or the Lord. Because he promised that. He said, my sheep, they hear my voice. I'm going to call each one of them by name. I'm going to lead them out if they're willing. There's no options to it. He's going to lead them out. And the reason that he leads them out is because I believe of the great love that he has for them. And I hope to address this in just a moment as well. But in Luke, I think it's the 6th chapter. Let me read this for you, keeping in mind that he's going to keep our hearts and our minds. And I believe the reason that he keeps them is because of what he placed within them. In the book of Luke, the 6th chapter, in verse 45, he says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of an evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil things. For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Here he tells us, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Well, what's in here, Ron, that's going to be brought out? Our own ideas? And I'm talking about the new heart that he gives us. Are we going to come up with our own type of teaching? Or are we going to be guided, I believe, by what he tells us in the book of 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and verse 16 and 17. It said, for all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And let me pause there. Not only, Dave, is the inspiration was given for them to write it down, but it's also inspired for them to see and hear and to understand it as well. It's not something that they develop within themselves. I think we may have read it too about, well, hold, want to come back to the book of Luke, but in the book of Ephesians, and what I'm pointing out here is what I believe that he has placed within our heart. In Ephesians, the third chapter, let me read verse 16 and 17. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Let me pause. Not only does he give us a new heart, he gives us a new spirit. I look at it too as people that have these heart operations. They're given all types of medicines, insulin and IVs, in order to keep, to perform the work that they had on the operation that they had done on them. It's also true spiritually. The Lord said that he's going to keep us in that. And what he says here, that we would be strengthened with might in the inner man. I don't believe we become weak. I believe we're being strengthened as we're taken through this life. Emphasizing the point, taken through. In verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That is being rooted and grounded in love. There's no options here, people. The Lord, I believe, when he puts within them a new heart, a new spirit, not only puts the love within us, but he also the faith that we have. Because our faith is not built upon our amount of study, our amount of attendance, or our efforts on our part, but rather by the grace of God are we given to understand not only about who began the work, who's performing the work, and who's going to end that work within that new heart that he has given to us. We talked about all the things that the Lord put in there. I want to read for you again why it is that he keeps his heart in the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Start reading in verse 15. And the Holy Spirit also is a witness to us. For after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them in those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws within their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. Ron, it's nice to know that you got a bank account. You can put all your money in one big safe. It's held there under the safety. If someone doesn't take it, we're guaranteed a safety here because this is what he does within us. He writes those things in our hearts and in our minds, and I don't believe there's an eraser or there's a thief or anything that can take that away from where God had placed it within that new heart, new spirit, and those things that are written there. A lot of times we always think, I forgot these. Where's this scripture? Where's it? I do it all. Well, in fact, I done it just a little bit ago. Good example. But we never really forget. We may not recall at that particular time, but I believe it's written in our hearts and in our minds. And this love that we have is something that God initiated. And let me read this for you, if we may. In the book of 1 John. Fourth chapter. Hold your place there. We're going to go to a couple other places as well. When he says in verse 6, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. Heareth us not us. But this know we, the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Here he talks about what we are brought to know. Ron, you know, many places the Lord said, by their fruits you shall know them. Even in the book of James, where it talks about those that went out from us, because they were not of us. If they were of us, they would remain. But here it is, there are some that do not know this about God. And he goes on to state here in verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Let me ask the question. When he talks about being born of God, in other words, being brought forth, I believe each and every one of us, David, has been brought forth by the power of God, through the work of the Holy Spirit. We're brought to realize this through the instruments God may use, whether what speaker it may be, or even yourself, even as far as if you're inspired to understand what is written in the Scripture. I think of Philip and the eunuch. They weren't in a church service. They were out on the road. Spirit came to Philip and said, hey, get going. I want you to meet that eunuch. Need to talk to him. He ran towards him. Whenever he came up to him, he asked him the question, understand what thou readest? He said, how can I except a man teach me? Then he sat down and broke it down what was written in the book of Isaiah. He asked the question, is this man speaking of himself or some other man? Then he talked to him about Jesus and his finished work. He that begun that work performs it and will also do it. The end result was this one here was baptized. Made a part of New Testament Baptist Church of Jerusalem. Here it is, all these things take place because of God's work. Let me hurriedly get here. I want to read for you here in the fourth chapter of 1 John again. And I want to address this first. I'm going to read kind of backwards at this in verse 19. We emphasize this fact because there are many who believe God loves everyone. Well, if he does, then everyone, I believe, is going to love God. Here it says in verse 19, it says, we love him because he first loved us. And the point that I'm making here is that God took the initiative. He is the one that initiates his love. And even as we read in Romans, the 5th chapter, verse 5, be shedding that love in our hearts, he took that initiative, as he did here as well. And not only that, but even in when he says in, I think it's 1 John, the 3rd chapter, and verse 1, says, oh, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. It was God who placed that love within us, placed that love on us, and caused us not only to love him, but I believe, Ron, he causes us to love one another. Physically speaking, we may be miles apart, but spiritually speaking, we have a great love for one another because of the truth's sake. And let me just read this for you as well. In 2 John, the 6th verse. I want to emphasize this, David, because it's important. Years ago, we were studying in the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 17. And verse 3. Where it says, and this is life eternal. And we emphasize the fact that he's pointing to this, a particular thing. And this is life eternal. A lot of people want to think, well, life eternal is something that we have after a while. But I believe we have this eternal life now, Ron, because it says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. So let me ask the question, when is it we know him? Is it not in this life, where he brought us to brought us out of darkness, put us in his light, caused us to have an understanding, or even caused us to believe, because it's the work of God that we believe on him whom he has sent. And this is what it's telling us in these verses of scripture here, that we have this love. And that love, let me read it in 1 John the 6th chapter, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments. And this is the commandment that ye have heard from the beginning, that ye should walk in it. Let me point this out. That word should is not an option. It's a definite command. A lot of times people want to think, well, it's up to you. If you walk in the right direction, you'll be held in this position as far as walking after the truth. We walk after that truth because it is instilled within us, not only to know, to believe, and understand, but have that love, and not only that, but even our footsteps are directed of the Lord to walk in that love. And I believe that we will walk in that love one towards one another as far as the truth is concerned. And this is what it tells us. Let me read again here in 1 John the 4th chapter. Verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, because we put forth an effort. Our love is made perfect. There's no flaws, no errors. And I believe it's a handiwork of God. And this is what it's saying. It said, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. As we're taken through this life, we are as he is. I don't know what goes through the mind the most, but in knowing that the Lord called us out of darkness, called his own sheep by name, leads them out. Not only that, but he gave them a promise. A couple of places that tells us this, is in the Gospel of John, the 17th chapter, verse 18, I believe. Whereas he says, as I was sent into the world, even so. Ron, that means in like manner. No variation. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. We're sent here under the power of God. You go through the scriptures, even the Lord, whenever he said in John 6:38, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. What are we doing? We were also called out of darkness, not to do our own will, but the will of him that sent us. The Lord told us, I think in John the 8th chapter, verse 28, as he was taught, the Lord God Father had taught him, he also spoke these things. We as well, as we are taught, we only speak it only through His authority, His power, His direction, and I believe also His love. All this is going to be completed by our God, who said He will keep our hearts and our minds. And I believe they're in complete safety, that there's not anything going to harm it or cause it to be disrupted. When He said, "Be perfect," my dependence is upon the Lord making me perfect. And let me bring our message to a close with this in the book of Hebrews. Very familiar to you, the 13th chapter. I believe Ron is here, tells us of all the things that the Lord's going to do with that new heart and new spirit that He places within us, even the words that He has given unto us. I think we made mention of that as well in Matthew, the 10th chapter. The Lord told His disciples, "When you're brought before kings and governors for my name's sake, be not anxious on what you shall say or speak, for the Spirit shall teach you in that very same hour what you shall speak. For it is not ye that speaketh, but the Spirit that speaketh in you." That's all because He's keeping that heart. And within that heart, these things proceed out. And it's a declaration, I believe, of our belief unto the righteousness. Not our righteousness, but rather the righteousness of Him who hath made us what we are. In the book of Hebrews, the 13th chapter, let me read two verses here, verses 20 and 21. "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Christ, Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." So, close our message with this. Is that love and that heart and the things that the Lord begun within us, is it going to be completed on the dependence upon ourself or upon Him who hath made us what we are? Ron, there's only one answer. Because of His grace.